Quick heads up about this episode. It is an AU, but hoo boy does it have some spoilers for what happens in the campaign so far. So if you are not caught up and intend to catch up at some point, maybe save this episode for a bit later. But if you are already caught up or have no plans to watch or listen to the rest of our episodes, then feel free to give us a listen, and we hope you'll enjoy the good fun we had with Stewpot. Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Hearts, A Forgotten Era. I forgot what I was going to say. Okay, we're not keeping that. This could be people's first introduction to our podcast, so we need to be professional.
Please keep that whole part in.
Okay. Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Hearts of Forgotten Era, an actual play podcast where we're not playing Interstitial or Hearts Intertwined, or really set in the Kingdom Hearts universe. This week, to celebrate the new year, we are going to be playing Stewpot, made by Takuma Okada, who you can find on Twitter at Takuma_Okada_.
New year, new us. Let's fucking go.
But also,
new year, new canon.
Yeah, except this is just a one-time thing. We're not changing the canon. I'm Lena. I use she, her, and they, them pronouns. And I will bleed. I will be playing Kronk, who has the adventurer job ranger and the town job chef.
Hi, I'm Isaiah. I use he and they pronouns, and I'm playing as Ember. Whose adventurer job will be swashbuckler, and town job will be scholar.
Hi, I'm Nathan, and I will be playing Celeritas still, whose adventurer job was pugilist, and whose town job is lookout.
Hi, I'm Rem, I use she, her, and they, then pronouns, and I'll be playing Asa, whose adventurer job was the wizard, and whose town job will be the artisan.
Hi guys, my name is Vale, I use they, them pronouns, and I'll be playing Nyx, who also uses they, them pronouns. Their adventurer job was druid, and their town job is hunter.
Yo, I'm Theo, as always, I'm playing Zeneca the Hunted. My pronouns are he, him, her pronouns are she, her. I don't have a bit. I'm tired.
Also, you're not Zeneca the Hunted.
My emotional state exiting 2020 is like the end of Revenge of the Sith with Anakin crawling one-armed up the cliff.
As far as Theo's concerned, Zeneca's full name is Zeneca the Hunted.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I see. My adventurer job is bard. Town job is orator. Zeneca the Hunted. The bard.
But also, I'm going to have to cut that because people don't know that you're...
Oh, fuck.
Wait, they don't?
Nope. Yeah. That hasn't not released yet.
Oh, oh damn.
That's releasing after this. But yeah, we'll fix that in post.
We'll fix it. We'll get it right.
All right, guys. So as the person who is most knowledgeable about Stewpot, I'll be helping facilitate the game. But a little bit about this game. It's made for sort of like playing retiring adventurers making a fantasy tavern. We're skinning it as retiring friends deciding to make a coffee shop together.
It's the Cafe AU for Cafe.
It's the Cafe yeah. Cafe AU.
The and Cafe so Cafe.
We're going to be playing, we're going to be all playing together. There's no GM, so we're just going to be choosing mini games and choosing people to join us in the mini games as we go along. And it's just gonna be a whole lot of fun. We're gonna be chilling out. It's super low stress, and it's a lot of character interaction, so we're gonna be role playing a lot. Our first game that we are playing is the very first game you play for Stewpot. It's called The First Step. So before we decided to put down roots here, before we found our group of friends, what were we doing, and what was the first thing you learned about living in town? Everyone plays, and everyone gains a town experience. So what that means is everyone here, we told you guys that we have a town job, and we're going to go ahead and choose an experience that goes with that town job, that shows us how to do that job. And so take turns describing a short scene that led to that experience. And if you want, you can include another character in your scene, but that character doesn't gain that experience with you. If you like, I can go first.
Okay.
So just
yeah, all right. I'd feel comfortable with that.
Do we want to describe our coffee shop?
Oh yeah, let's go ahead and describe our let's go ahead and describe our location. And our coffee shop. So we are of course in Scala ad Caelum.
Scala ad Caelum.
So this is kind of in the universe of Kingdom Hearts, like.
Oh yeah, I guess it is a little bit in the universe of Kingdom Hearts.
By the way, I heard in Melody of Memory they refer to this place as Scala ad Caelum.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's not how we say it.
Yeah, no. they say Xehanort says it different in Kingdom Hearts 3.
I trust Xehanort more.
Yeah, I trust Xehanort.
That's a bad idea.
But he lived there.
Terra voice. Xehanort
is my dad, and he's also my best
Terra
friend.
Terra voice. I trust Xehanort.
All right.
Scala ad Caelum.
So we've decided it's surrounded by water with many canals, which means that we do have seafood available in a coffee shop. I'm sure it'll work out fine.
Wait, should we mention the name of our coffee shop, or do we save that for last?
We're going to save that for last.
Copy that.
The types of clientele that we have are warriors, students, and teachers. Because that's like the population of Scala ad Caelum. It's a very bustling city day and night. We have a rival coffee shop of the name of Lux Bucks. There is a, as Theo put, hot slam poetry scene.
Woo!
And as I want you guys to guess at home, who chose parkourable buildings.
Oh, that was definitely Nyx, right?
Oh, sure.
Look, the whole impetus behind the character of Solaris was I looked at the city Scala ad Caelum and I'm like, man, free running in there would be fucking awesome.
Now we're going to describe the look of our coffee shop. It's a corner alley coffee shop. It's illuminated by magic candles. There's a small library there and couches to sort of read on. There is no stage, angry frowny face.
Yeah, we celebrate slam poetry, but we have to move like a couple tables in the back out the way and set up a stool and microphone.
We have a sail through in the back instead of a drive through, so you can sail a boat through the back of our coffee shop so we can serve you there. And the most important detail, in my opinion, is we have a Moogle that sends us delivery orders. And the Moogle name is Frugal. And they are the Moogle that... Frugal's the Moogle that magically tells us when people want to pay for delivery coffee.
This is rapidly not becoming a one-shot, becoming a Dr. Seuss book.
You can have a one-shot Dr. Seuss book.
Nathan, why don't you tell the people of our amazing coffee shop name?
All right, and so we of the Cafe would like to welcome you to our coffee shop, The Forgotten Blend.
Fuck yeah.
So good.
So Nyx is sort of, when we're now that we're going back to first step, Nyx, I feel like, is very interestingly the druid, because he's, in our regular game, he's very magically inclined. But now that he's settling down, there's like a less use for his magic, because it's all battle-oriented. So he has to figure out patience. And the way that he figures out patience is by scaring the living shit out of people.
I don't know why I'm surprised.
Yeah. And so what I imagined for Nyx is Nyx will sit very, very still in front of the coffee shop and just sort of try and blend into the background of the city. And then when someone is like completely unaware of him, he will be like, "Hello, welcome to the Forgotten Blend," and just fucking terrify them.
So he's like fucking Kato or whatever from the original Pink Panther movies. He's just like, people walk through the door, it's like, like, just leaps onto them.
I was also thinking Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm a master of stealth just by standing still.
But the hunter, so like the hunter job that comes with it has an town experience called lying in wait, being a master of concealment. So that's the experience that I'm choosing.
I actually want a quick point of order because I'm realizing I don't think this was clarified before we started.
Yes.
Do we know each other already and we're making this?
Yes.
Or do we like meet each other through
the weekend? We are already friends. We are already doing this together.
Okay.
So, Kronk. 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 Kronk.
Hit me with Kronk.
Kronk.
Kronk
coming into the Forgotten Blend, he was very good at making one thing, which is spinach puffs. But he doesn't quite have a mastery of making other things. So at some point, somebody else in the crew just was like, "Hey, Kronk, can you like cut up these vegetables for me?" And he was like, "Sure, buddy." So he pulls out his knife and immediately, despite not being super familiar with it, does like, you know how you see chefs on TV and they're cutting like vegetables so quickly you don't even understand what's happening?
Yeah.
Like it's
that. That just happens when I go to a hibachi restaurant.
Yeah. It's just very, very quickly cutting vegetables, and then he's done and he's like, "Okay, what now?" And that's how he got the clean cut experience.
All right.
Nice.
So for Ember, I think at one point, like, Ember was trying to talk to Zenica, and Zenica really wanted him to leave her alone, so she threw a book at him.
Yeah, and, that's in character.
And he caught it, and later on he started reading it, and he really enjoyed it, so later he asked Zenica where he could find more books.
And she threw more at him!
And so I think the library in the coffee shop is a sort of like curated list of books between Zenica and Ember, what the two of them have read. And that's where Ember gets the well-read experience.
I really like that.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Do I have to go now?
Either you, Nathan, or Rem, and Rem doesn't look ready yet.
So I'm taking a wild shot in the dark, but what I think happens is, like, while Zenica's helping Ember set up the library, the bustling beat poetry scene, or slam poetry scene comes into play, and she like catches on that this is a thing, and I think she starts like going to these slam poetry events and just sitting in a quiet corner taking notes. She's like occasionally in the library, offhandedly throwing books at Ember's head while like flipping pages through another one with a pencil in her mouth. And she dedicates herself to the knowledge of beat poetry, and by this experience she gains the parable experience, a lesson for every situation. The lessons being imparted via slam poetry.
So for Solaritus, naturally, the first thing that happens when he arrives back home is he immediately becomes a courier again, and which basically courier is we're painting the lookout to kind of be courier adjacent, mostly because of the town experience that I went for. Because, like, the moment he comes back, like, everyone he knew instantly remembers him, like, oh, yeah, it's you. And, like, he immediately starts, like, helping people and, like, just being the best mailman possible to everyone again. And that's how he becomes the friend of the people, because he was always a friend of the people. And, you know, that shit just doesn't change.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Remy, that leaves you for last.
And, So we got back from our big adventure, and we don't really need a gummy ship anymore. So Asa did immediately dismantle it for parts. Because Asa had an idea, and you all thought she was crazy, but like with a little bit of experimentation and a little bit of playing around, she has made the most baller front sign out of gummy blocks. And with that practice, she now has her town experience of designer, a trained eye for color and shape.
Incredible.
All right. And that is the first step. Everyone has gained their experience. And now we get to choose the games. Lena, why don't you go ahead and go first?
Okay, so my game is Sliced. The description is, you can handle typical tavern food fine. You've got a very nice stew, great bread from a baker down the street, and plenty of ale. But sometimes supply routes get disrupted. Or maybe you just want to stand out from the rest of the taverns. Whatever the reason, you're playing this game because you want or need to do one thing. Cook with monster parts.
Monster coffee, I'm digging it.
Monster coffee.
Isn't that the plot of that one manga?
I don't know.
You'll have to be incredibly more specific.
Dungeon Meshi, I think?
Yeah, Lena gets me.
Yeah, that is the plot of that manga.
Perfect.
Anyway, so to determine what ingredients are at the core of your dish, draw 3 cards from a standard deck.
Okay. So I will draw the top 3 cards from this deck that I have prepared for the game.
Okay.
We have a King of Diamonds.
Okay.
An Ace of Spades. And a 7 of Hearts.
Ace of Spades.
Okay, so for each card drawn, roll 2 6-sided dice to determine how large the ingredient source is and where it comes from. Okay, so
we have the technology.
Okay, so I have a house-sized ingredient from underground.
Now, it is a house-sized monster, not necessarily a house-sized ingredient.
House-sized monster.
Not a monster-sized house. That's the other campaign.
So, I thought that's a 5. Isn't that a giant-sized?
Well, no, because...
No, it's a 4 and a 1. So the 4 is the first number, and the 1 is the second.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, of course, a diamond, whatever this monster is going to give you, it's a type of unique seasoning.
Okay, so I'm going to say that I find just the biggest sewer gator.
So technically, the other players are going to tell you what you find.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
She finds a sewer gator.
Basically, we're going to tell you the like things you're looking for and the difficulties you'll run into. Then you'll tell us how you get them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so guys, whenever you are describing an ingredient, Theo, since you've taken up the lead on sewer gator.
But I'm describing an ingredient?
So you're describing what ingredient the sewer gator gives you, which is a seasoning. A unique seasoning, apparently.
Graded scales.
Perfect.
Perfect.
So you're gonna choose a highlight or difficulty.
To the spice or to the
something that it does. No, a highlight or difficulty to the spice. So something about it that changes the way it cooks, that either adds something or like does something cool, which is a highlight, or something that is difficult and Lena will have to worry about cooking around.
I think it's that you. I don't know if this counts as a highlight or a difficulty, but I'm gonna just throw it out there and you decide. Weirdly enough, they're spicy. You wouldn't believe it looking at them. A graded alligator scale, it's spicy.
So maybe you have to regulate it, or else it's too overwhelming.
It's like it can kind of overpower the rest of it. Rem in the fucking chat taking notes.
I'm helping.
Yeah, I think the highlight is if you have them in moderation, it adds a nice little sweet spice to the dish you're cooking. But if you add too many, you get the gator sickness.
I love it.
That's what we're calling it now.
Okay, so I ate your
panini the other day. I know this is gonna sound weird, but I've got scales now.
Oh, those would go away. Probably.
You signed a waiver when you ate the panini scale. It was on your receipt. Sorry.
There's just in the background, there's like a health inspector going around, and then it just shows Seneca putting him in a chokehold.
Now I'm just picturing the argument that like every food service manager has had, where it's like, I got food poisoning like an hour after I ate your burgers. And it's like, well, sir, food poisoning takes like 24 hours to set in, so it was not our burger. Someone walks in being like, you gave me sewer gators poisoning. And it's like, dude,
The gator sickness.
All right, Lena, tell us how you get this fucking gator. A house-sized gator.
I think I wrestled a gator.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't even like think about it. I just like.
Oh, this, hey, a gator.
Yeah, like you would be a fun sparring partner. And then
did Crocdotty like go out for the ingredient?
Yeah, I think Kronk in the sewers.
I'd like to suggest something that could be in character for Kronk. I think he just wants like one spare scale from the alligator, and so the whole time he's wrestling it, he's like negotiating. Because I don't think Kronk would kill a gator. I think he'd be like, "Come on, you're not even using it," and like fucking Frankensteiner it into the water.
Just one, like off your tail or something.
Exactly. Got it like in a chokehold.
I just had the wonderful mental image of Kronk power bombing an alligator.
Exactly. Just he German suplexes like, come on, I just need one. You're not even using it.
We need.
So I definitely just get the one scale.
Since it's a house-sized gator,
it is a huge scale all the same.
All right. Cool. Okay, let's move on to the next ingredient. Go ahead and roll 2d6.
Okay. It is also house-sized, and it's from underwater. It's another gator. No, I can't influence people, but...
No, let's not have it be another gator.
Just so you guys know, an ace of spades is a magical plant.
Oh, I have an idea, then.
A plant-based product. Go ahead. Ooh,
do it.
Go right ahead.
So this is like... This is Skalad Kalem, right? We're like in the ocean, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What if there's like a special like species of whale around here that like swims slowly enough that there's like moss and reef on its back?
Ooh.
Yeah. And so you have
can
to
I write
like
that down?
You have to get like this down. Like underwater moss off of this whale's back.
Whale moss.
Okay, so
that's
cut
so
to
cool.
Kronk in scuba gear, just swimming down to the whale.
He's using a rake.
It's one of those things where, like, it looks like at first he's just like, you know, he's got a little like air bonsai scissors, like cutting something off. Ah, and then it zooms out. It's on the back of a whale, which immediately submerges.
I have a note for a potential difficulty.
Kronk doesn't know how to swim.
No. I think the whale moss, if you're not careful, it'll dry out in the dish.
Oh.
Mm.
That tracks, because it grows underwater. So,
yeah.
Like,
So I'm thinking the way I get around that is I make a soup.
Ooh.
I make a soup.
Whale moss soup.
Whale moss.
So we've got one more ingredient, and then okay. we can. But I'm sure it'll be conducive to a soup.
Okay, so
you should put your gator scale in there.
Giant and underground.
He comes back to the sewer gator.
Although so now guys, we need one of your teeth.
Guys, it's a naturally camouflaged animal or animal parts.
Worms.
Oh no.
Just worms.
No, I don't like that.
Like really big worms.
That's even worse. I don't know why you heard I don't like that and thought, I know it'll make this weather, make it big.
A giant worm. Yeah, everyone loves worm. Those.
Can we just call it a snake instead? Can it be a giant snake?
But like a snake.
A giant camouflaged underground snake. That's terrifying. Let's do it.
I think that's way scarier
than
worm. That's
just a basilisk.
Fuck yeah.
No, everything has to camouflage from a basilisk. Because the motherfucker stares at you and you're fucked.
It's camouflaged because it's actually not a predator. It's the prey. You don't want to know what the predator is.
It's Kronk.
Ooh. I really don't.
It's Kronk.
It's Kronk.
They come Kronk, up when it
nature's
rains.
Nature's apex predator.
You don't understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
So I imagine though Kronk doesn't kill the snake. Do you just take its tail,
I just
lizard?
Take its tail. Yeah.
I'm just gonna choppy your tail, friend, just really fast.
It's one of those that like if you pull on the tail, it'll just come off and it'll keep moving when it's off the actual thing gets away.
Yeah.
That's well, very fan. Good.
All right, so now we have made the ingredients.
Well, yeah, we need a highlight of the difficulty or a difficulty of the ingredient, though.
It keeps moving until thoroughly cooked.
No,
it doesn't stop.
That's distressing. Let's go
I want snake tail soup raw, please, and then they just have like a slappy soup that's like pushing all over the fucking place.
I want a soup that'll slap me in the face, and that's not a metaphor.
So I think the soup. The way I get around that is I just like with one really buff arm I'm just holding the snake tail for the entire time it's cooking while just like doing everything else like absentmindedly.
Perfect. All right, so we the five of us are the tasters for this new dish.
Oh no.
So we each have something that we want from this dish. So you can come up with something on your own or use the examples below. Nyx wants to try some raw snake soup. Nyx wants to fight his meal. Their meal.
So Kronk is like, look, buddy, if anyone else can fight the meal, it's you. I believe in you.
Great. Who wants to go next?
Asa wants extra fucking gator spice. Make it spicy.
No way that
shit.
Could go wrong.
But don't give me gator poisoning, Kronk.
Don't give her gator
poisoning. I think Zeneca tries to one up Asa in the amount of scale spice.
Zeneca does want gator sickness.
I think she sees Asa loading up, so she starts loading up.
Asa's like, Kronk, give me as much as you can without giving me gator sickness.
And I will risk like, the gator that. Sickness! Yeah, so, I am not a coward!
So Kronk's like, buddies, gator sickness is a real concern, but if you're willing to sign this waiver, I will give you...
He turns to the camera, it's like, hi, I'm Kronk. I'm here to talk to you about a serious problem.
Gator sickness.
Gator sickness.
Hey, Pete. Got that gator sickness?
Little known fact about Asa, she loves spicy food. She can't taste it if it doesn't, like, kick her in the throat.
Is that why her favorite food is Pop Rocks?
Yes.
Wait, do we call Pop Rocks spicy now?
No.
No, but
well,
like,
they are
just sparkling
they candy. Will kick you.
Isaiah, you're not wrong, and I love you for it.
Listen, I got told that beans are in fact juicy this week. I can't handle another weird food.
We can't get into this again.
No,
that's gonna date our podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is releasing.
At least someone will. But dun dun.
Ember wants so much moss that it just sponges up the rest of the soup.
Is Ember that person that orders like a whole loaf of bread with his like Panera soup and just like doesn't use a spoon? It just sops up all of the soup. With
yes.
The bread.
Oh,
so Ember is me. Ember is me.
Ember is also me.
Absolutely. Ember.
Why would I waste a spoon when I have the spoon that God gave me? This bread.
You're all heathens.
Listen, Jesus handed me a fish and handed me some bread, and I'm gonna use the bread.
I'm gonna make some fish soup and eat it with the bread bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Solaris wants a normal fucking meal.
Kronk doesn't say it because like he doesn't want to be mean to everyone else, but under his breath he's just like, finally.
I feel like Solaris orders last, watches everybody else order, then just goes, Kronk, just give me soup.
See, okay. What I'm imagining is just Solaris cheerfully and happily eating while chaos explodes around him. Just like, you know, absentmindedly looking at nothing, enjoying his meal, and all around him fucking chaos ensues from this goddamn soup.
I love it. So, Lena, you're gonna roll 5d6.
Okay.
Because we're rolling dice equal to 4 plus our cuisine rating. And then, with those 5d6, you're gonna assign 4 dice to each one of the squares. That is goal, seasoning, presentation, and texture.
Okay. So, roll 5d6. Okay.
2, 4, 6, 4, 3.
That's pretty solid spread.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I am going to have the...
Can we stack the two with another thing to make a bigger number?
No, that's too...
Okay, it's one die per square. Got it.
Okay. So, I think I'm going to have the texture be the 6. The texture is, like, by far the best thing about this soup. Which is, now that I say that, that is a bit weird to describe the texture of the soup being the best.
The texture of gator scale moss, tail still moves, soup.
Can we just... Well, we need to think of a... Well, let's call it the Kronk special.
The Kronk special, yeah.
All right, so Lena, as the cook player, you're gonna describe what you think the most difficult part of achieving a perfect texture is.
It's balancing the dichotomy of the kind of squishy moss,
Can we get Isaiah to do like some instrumental music, like dramatic, like soft strings as Kronk cooks this dish?
I have a couple days to write it, but I'll do what I can.
the like more. I was gonna describe it as al dente, but that's not how you describe meat.
It's not. It's
not.
Really, is it like gamey? Is it a little tough?
I'm gonna say it's a little tough, the snake meat. And then I wanna say that the gator seasoning has a little bit of a crunch to it. Like it's kind of like big salt, like kosher salt.
Okay.
So balancing all of those sensations together is the most difficult part of achieving this.
Cool.
I like it.
Alright, so that's the texture profile. Go ahead and assign a dice somewhere else.
Okay. Presentation is a 4.
Okay, the dish looks pretty good. Everything is right where it needs to be. And the cook player, again, describes one flourish they are proud of.
I cut the snake meat just so well. Like, it looks beautiful.
Looks like the Kingdom Hearts logo.
Yeah, it looks like the Kingdom Hearts logo. Somehow, even the snake that's still moving looks like the Kingdom Hearts logo.
I think the reason the cuts were so like perfectly round is because it moved as you were cutting it, so it got that nice shape.
Oh, Well, and also, I've got that clean cut tower experience.
Also, Kronk definitely has his, like, wood carving badge.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that fully applies here, but he definitely has
like
that.
Lena said, Kronk has the clean cut.
Yeah.
I just like this implication that a good woodworker is also a killer in the kitchen.
Okay. All right, Lena.
The seasoning is a 3.
Okay. So this seems almost right, but it's missing a little something. What flavor do you want more of? Or what spice do you add as you're eating? One taster answers. So one of the 5 of us.
Well, Solaritus, who's out for a normal fucking meal, adds a pinch of salt. A pinch of salt and a dash of pepper.
The lesson P for me, folks.
Can I add one too?
Go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
Asa definitely waits till Kronk's back is turned and then quickly pulls like a tiny bottle of Tabasco out of her pocket and just taps like a drop in there.
Can I do one?
Let's just have everyone do one. Right, Why not?
Let's do it.
Ember, like, gets someone to distract Solaritus and then grabs some of his own moss and adds it to Solaritus' dish because he got too much moss.
Solaritus, look, a distraction.
Where?
I like how you take it out of your dish, you put it in someone else.
I like to think at this point, Ember and Nyx are like buddies again. And, like, Nyx definitely uses, like, oh, babe, you got something on your face. And that's how you distract Solaritus.
My moss soup has too much moss.
Nyx definitely, I think the thing that Nyx is missing, like, maybe he shouldn't have gotten it so raw. Like, maybe. he bites into the snake meat and there's like, it's like still moving in his mouth. And he's like, this is uncomfortable. I made a mistake.
It's chewing back.
It's chewing back.
Oh, God.
It tastes great, but like, maybe I shouldn't have made it raw.
Have you ever tried eating a live octopus? It's like that.
Oh, no.
I have not, and goodbye.
All right.
I too
Lena.
Have seen Old Boy.
Oh wait, no. Theo, do you got a taster for seasoning?
More scale spice.
Of course. Oh yeah, she's definitely getting gator.
It's gonna smash cut to the next morning, and she's just gonna like lift a scaled arm and be like, worth it.
Okay. And so 4 for goal. I succeed. Somebody compliment me.
This is some good soup. Thanks, Kronk.
This is the best soup I've ever tasted, where 1/3 of it came straight out of the sewer.
You're welcome, little buddy.
Damn.
I think my compliments are covered by those two.
I am glad that you thoroughly washed the scales.
Oh, right. Kronk's like, you're supposed to wash things?
Yeah, you're yeah, the scene ends with them just going,
he did come from a time before regular hand washing.
That is true.
Okay, folks, and that's the game. We finished Sliced. And
who's next?
And so next, I believe, is Nathan. Nathan, do you have a game that you want to play?
So I ended up going with a friendly tavern brawl.
So a friendly coffee shop brawl. I'm into it.
Yep.
Alright.
Someone in the taverns makes eye contact with you, and their gaze lingers a little longer than you'd expect. Your coworkers urge you on and make every excuse they can to say.
You're reading the wrong
thing. I'm reading Romancing a Stranger.
You're
fuck!
Reading
fuck.
Romancing a Stranger.
I was about to say, like, this is the weirdest erotic fight I've ever heard of.
You know what's really funny is to Solaritus, they're not too different.
No, yeah, I was sitting here and I was like, yeah, this sounds about right.
I'm imagining, like, you know that thing in movies where, like, the two hands land on top of each other and it's like, oh, sorry. No, that was me. But, like, that, but, like, a punch catch. Like, you catch their fist and it's like slow, it's like, Oh, I'm sorry. No, that was me. Like,
okay. Do you want to start over with a friendly tavern brawl, babe?
Yeah.
If you want, Nathan, we can cut that out. If you're like embarrassed about it.
I like it.
I'm a little embarrassed about it. But also, it's too funny to leave out.
It's really funny.
It's your shame is delicious and it will increase the payoff.
This is going to haunt me till my dying day. But also, it's good for the podcast.
Also, were you about to say for the vine?
Also, support us on Patreon for more funny goofs.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
That's where we do weird shit like this.
Oh, God. Oh, no. So, a friendly tavern brawl. Every tavern coffee shop has its rowdy patrons. You know they're good at heart, but sometimes when the ale is flowing, coffee, and spirits are high, things get a little out of hand.
The patrons.
How do you handle the situation?
All right, so set up. One or more players are the brawlers. They can be player characters or NPCs. What disagreement has caused the first punch to be thrown? So, is Solaritus taking part in this brawl?
Oh, fuck yeah, he is.
Okay. Who's fighting in our coffee shop, guys? Who's Solaritus fighting?
Idea.
Yes.
What if Priscilla gets in a fight?
I was gonna say I have another idea. Mm-hmm. What if it's Phil from Hercules?
I have a third idea that can incorporate these two. It's tensions are high at yet another competitive slam poetry night.
Two slam poets just start beating the shit out of each other,
and there's Rosella and Phil.
Phil goes, "I'll put the slam in slam poets."
Yep.
God, he would.
Solaris is, "Oh, fuck yeah, sparring session. Let me join, guys."
Okay, guys.
Priscilla is into slam poetry because it embarrasses Ember.
All right, so who is going to be playing these NPCs who are brawlers?
I'm fine to play Priscilla.
I regret suggesting Phil because I do not have a Phil voice.
You literally just did your Phil voice.
Yeah, it was
and
pretty bad.
And it was kind of good.
Oh, no!
I'll be Phil.
Okay.
All right. Then I think if Solaris is going to get involved with a brawl, I feel like Nyx is going to want to jump in and be like, wait.
Okay, so Nyx on the de-escalator side here.
Yeah, so de-escalators, this can be one, but you should usually be several player characters.
I think Ember should be a de-escalator.
That sounds like something Ember would do, is break up the fight.
So, Lena, do you want to add an NPC? Do you want to add Kronk into the brawler side, or do you think Kronk would be a de-escalator?
She is currently BRBing.
Yeah. Oh, so we can actually run this game with five people if we want.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So, breaking up the fight. De-escalators follow the steps to stop the fight. Brawlers respond appropriately. At least one experience should be used during one of the steps. So, just so you guys, so anyone who's playing an actual character, which is three of us, we should be using one of our adventure experiences.
Okay.
So the approach. De-escalators. The first thing you need to do is interrupt the fight. How do you draw their attentions? And we have discussed that that slam poetry night is getting heated. How does Solaritus get involved in this? What does this fight look like?
Well, the moment Phil and Priscilla, God, what a sentence, start throwing hands. God, what a sentence. Solaritus
Phil was definitely heckling.
No, yeah, Priscilla's a good boy. Oh, Phil threw hands. Priscilla threw them back.
And Solaritus just sees this going on and just immediately assumes that it's friendly sparring because, like, why would slam poetry night fucking result in an actual brawl. So he's just like, ah, yeah, sparring night. Fuck yeah. And then he just leaps over the counter and joins.
I love that. God.
Nyx is the first. Nyx immediately realizes, like, no, honey, wait. Like,
that's literally what happens. Like Nyx is, like, also over the counter. Is like, Solaris, this isn't friendly sparring. This is upset at slam poetry sparring.
Procella is still trying to deliver slam poetry while, like, headlocking Phil and punching him in the face.
So that's how you're lashing out?
He knows we don't have a friendly sparring night, right?
I don't think he does. Zeneca goes back to cleaning
mugs. I think that he really wants one, so we should consider something less. Solaris, no.
White flowers twisting in the black darkness. Whoop, 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 just punching Phil. All
right, Phil, how are you lashing out? What do you say that you shouldn't have?
Well, so the first thing is that Phil was definitely heckling, because I feel like what happened was that nobody snapped their fingers after Phil's really bad poem. And then everybody was, like,
hilarious.
Enraptured with Priscilla's. And so Phil started being like, yeah, you would like that, you chumps. I got two words for you. Haiku ain't shit.
Whoa, this is dark Phil. This is blue Phil.
Okay, Phil was totally doing a haiku, but got the amount of syllables wrong.
Oh, he absolutely did. He's bitter about it. So that's what he said that he shouldn't have. And he's lashing out now that people are trying to, like, interrupt. With as soon as, like, Solaris was like, friendly sparring, he was like, I'll show you, friendly kid. And fucking, like, he does that thing where he jumps up on, like, that short person in a cartoon fighting thing where he jumps on your shoulders, like, piggyback style and starts pulling Solaris' hair.
Oh, yeah.
Alright.
Solaris is like, this doesn't feel friendly!
Alright, Solaris, so, how are you lashing out?
I think the key point is here is, what do you say that you shouldn't have? And when Nyx says Solaris no, Solaris' response is, Solaris, yes!
God damn it.
I love him so much!
Okay, so next is the separation. De-escalators. How do you put space between the brawlers? Is there something you can get them to focus on? I feel like the obvious answer for Nyx is just gonna, like, swoop in for, like, and try to grab Solaris by the middle and, like, drag him. Trying to get him to focus on, like, hey, sweetie, this is not friendly sparring night, it's slam poetry night. This is an actual fight, babe.
What? No, it's... Look, it's so friendly. I mean, come on. Like, it's, can't you see that? Ow! Ow!
I think Ember just grabs Phil by the horns and, like, lifts him up at a height that his limbs, like, can't reach him.
God, it's approximate to the short person thing where you just hold their head back and, like, they can't reach you.
Exactly. All right, brawlers, try and start the fight back up again.
So Ember's holding Phil?
Yeah.
Okay. What were you gonna say, Theo?
I was gonna say, I think I know how Priscilla immediately starts to get Phil going again. I think when Ember pulls Phil away and up by the horns, Priscilla does the really douchey, like, dust the front of his coat once. He's like, well, it's not my fault that you put the Phil in Philistine.
Oh! I'm Greek, you smarmy bastard! And he starts fucking, like, swinging at air and kicking his feet and trying to, like, wrench free of Ember's hands.
Is Phil at all confused about the fact that Ember and Priscilla look identical?
I think he's beyond noticing. He's seeing red.
Interesting for a goat.
And Solaris's addition to this whole thing is when Priscilla says that, he just in the background goes, "Oh!"
He laughs once.
No, he does the "Oh shit!" Oh.
But importantly, is he so he's just trying to start the fight up again by goading them?
Goading. Not even intentionally. Not even intentionally.
Solaris is just simultaneously everybody in the back of that one gif where he destroys that man's whole career.
Psych! Yeah. That's the wrong number!
Alright, guys. The talk down. De-escalators, how do you ensure the fight won't break out again tonight?
I'm going to throw Phil out of the shop, and I'm going to say, "You can come back when you learn to count change."
Rude!
Because I imagine Phil has come often and has always like shortchanged, like whenever he buys anything, he gives less money than he needs to.
He's the douchebag who grabs like extra, like grabs quarters out of the tip jar.
Well, and I don't think it's necessarily
no. Yeah,
malicious.
I feel like it's just he like hands you money and you look down and then you look back up and you're like, "It's another 30 cents." And he's like, "Ah, shit." And like,
and then he hands you 25 cents.
It takes like 3 tries to finally get the money. Yeah.
All right. As for
thank you, my brother.
As for Nyx like points at Priscilla and is like, "You stop being smarmy enough that you're gonna get hit." And you, and he's gonna point at Solaris. He's like, "Please understand that we don't have a sparring night. I can talk to the rest of us and like see if we can do this, but we don't have a sparring night, sweetie."
Oh. By the way, when you say "I can talk to the rest," like Ember is shaking his head, like
Zenica is nodding her head rapidly.
Zord just says, "Oh."
No, Zenica is nodding, but then Ember turns over his shoulder and she immediately goes to shaking, but then starts nodding again when he looks forward.
Okay. Brawlers, how are you feeling? What almost makes you start up the fight again?
Man, Solaris just really wanted there to be a friendly sparring night, you know? He's just sad now.
Oh, baby.
It's not my fault that not everyone can appreciate such sublime poetry.
So Phil, after getting kicked out by Ember, he kind of dusts himself off and he starts apologizing and he's like, "Look, I didn't mean to mess up your nice coffee shop." And he turns around to like shake Ember's hand and he looks up and finally sees Ember's face and he's like, "You again! Come back to finish what I started, huh?"
I just shut the door on him.
Alright, guys, the aftermath. Everyone has been picked up off the floor and dusted off. Together, answer the aftermath questions. Were any of the player characters hurt? Was Solaris hurt?
Physically, no. Emotionally, he really wishes there was a friendly spot.
So, if yes, how do we help each other recover?
We institute friendly sparring night.
I feel like Nyx will be like, "Listen, we can do like a performative sparring challenge for people, in which they can challenge you to a fight, and it'll be friendly spar.
We can make it like a little contest: beat Solaris in a spar, get a free cup of coffee."
Yes.
One rule is if you break any furniture, you're disqualified.
Yes. Solaris gets himself disqualified.
Solaris slowly puts down a chair.
Alright. Was there any... Sorry, go ahead.
I feel like we don't have the money to replace furniture.
Definitely not. So, was there any significant damage to our coffee shop?
Well, since Solaris was in the fight, we did lose a few small items.
But nothing significant, then.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm definitely picturing his opening maneuver was to, like, front flip over the like the counter and grab a mug as he does so.
Okay, so but no significant damage, no like broken floor support beams. All right, how do we deal with the brawlers? Are they banned? Do they need to pay a fine?
Guys, am I banned?
Solaritus is not banned. Solaritus works at the coffee shop.
Is he's gonna ask anyway. He's gonna ask anyway.
I feel like Phil is specifically banned from Slam Night.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he has proven he cannot handle his ego. He is only allowed here to just drink coffee.
I feel like the group discusses it, and Ember is like, we should consider banning Priscilla.
Nyx would is you like, deprive these people of this joy of poetry?
Nyx is like, do you want to ban him because of his attitude, or because he's done something wrong?
Or because he's Priscilla?
I think... Brother, just because one of us got the gift of poetry doesn't mean you have to be so green.
No, wait, I'm now on Ember's side.
Zeneca's like, what the fuck's wrong with being green? Like, breaks a mug on the ground.
Zeneca's like, it's not easy being green.
So do we ban Priscilla?
I think no. Priscilla didn't instigate. He just needs to not be
a douche
as mean as he is.
Brother, you're not wrong. You're just an asshole.
I feel like we do now officially need to add Priscilla and Phil to our list of named NPCs. They've been established as regulars.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I will go ahead and start adding them.
From now on, Priscilla, if he applies the attitude during Slam Poetry Night, he will be deducted points by our judge.
Is it
Zeneca? What? Are you our judge? Am I a judge for what?
How can you judge
Slam Poetry Night?
The Slam Poetry Night?
Oh, very easily. It's shit.
Yeah. I absolutely know how you can judge poetry, because I've performed poetry and been judged.
I think Zeneca tries to judge. Yeah, fuck it.
All right. So, going off that energy, the game has ended, and now we're gonna say Theo. Why don't you choose the game?
I choose Romancing a Stranger.
I'm not surprised.
You would.
Oh, and hold up. Let me read the description here.
Don't you dare.
Every tavern has its rowdy patrons.
Don't you
know
that?
Oh, no!
Don't you dare.
Whoops, dude.
Get out of here.
I'm never going to hear the end of that one, am I?
I'm on Nathan's side here.
I've already forgotten.
At least it's harder to reference than I'm back.
Okay.
Can I be the stranger? I have a stranger in mind, if we're just throwing in random Disney
If characters. You make it Phil, I swear to actual Jesus Christ.
I'm not making it Phil.
Alright, so one pair plays.
Fuck it, yeah.
Alright, so your coworkers are urging you on. Lena, why don't you tell us who the stranger is that we're urging Zeneca on to?
It's Gogo Tomago from Big Hero 6.
Who is that?
Yellow, the yellow one.
The skater chick.
I haven't seen that movie.
The goth.
Oh, shit. Really? You'd really like it.
Well, we should fix that, but...
Her power is that she has, like, zero gravity skates.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's basically just, what if you took a Jet Set Radio character and made them into a superhero?
You're so right.
I'm into it.
All right. So, Gogo Tamago from Big Hero 6.
Is she doing slam poetry and that's how Zeneca finds her?
I don't know. Romancer, yeah, sure. Describe a detail about the stranger that drew you to them.
That's a good question.
Since you literally don't know the character.
Yeah. She also has a leather jacket.
Yeah.
And everyone knows lesbians wear leather jackets.
Wow, that is somehow the most sapphic gif I've ever seen in my entire life.
Is it
life.
Not? Yeah. Like, that fucking... That's why I picked her. I was like, yeah.
It is so obvious.
Actually, I guess I need to clarify. Is this, like, actually full-on AU, like, none of the main campaign happened? Or is this, like, the Witcher games, where, like, the canon kind of happened, but now we're, like, an AU post thing?
The second one.
Gotcha. We assume that it happened, but we're just kind of fast-forwarding everything past where the campaign currently is.
I can't believe we've healed all our traumas and become close as brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, actually, you know what? I'm going to roll it out. I think the leather jacket cat... Oh, fuck. You know what? I'm going to roll it. I think Zeneca looks at her and goes, holy shit, that's like a hot girl version of my ex.
Oh, no! Oh.
Wow, that you got an one.
What if my ex was hotter and a girl?
So, does Zeneca still have the streaks in her hair?
I think they're still there. Yeah.
Okay. I think Gogo like looks at the streaks, gestures to the one in Roan, and is like, it just nods her head.
Zeneca kind of dazedly nods back. Like, I think this is one of the first time. I think this is what kind of fulfills the requirement of the rest of the gang urging Zeneca on, is Zeneca for the first time seems like well and truly speechless.
Oh, Asa definitely like physically pushes her over there. Asa's like, holy shit, Zeneca fucking is into somebody. Go, 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 go.
I like to think that Nyx follows up with like, Miss, welcome, this is one of our managers here. You should totally, we are having a special called Manager's Cup, where you sit with our manager and have a cup of coffee with them. You are the lucky winner.
What?
And he's just gonna like slam Zeneca.
No, wait, I resign. Like,
the coffee is free. And he's just gonna like, wait.
I think Nyx has to literally flip Zeneca over their shoulder. And the whole time she's like, wait, no, I resigned. Like, you can't do this.
No, you don't. You can't quit. It's in your contract.
You can't quit in the middle of your shift.
And then it's just, placed bodily in the opposite chair. Like, completely, like, just wide-eyed, like, what is happening in my life right now?
Getting to know each other. Take turns asking. Oh, does any?
Wait, did we?
Other people?
Did we ask? Did we ask Elena? What's the first thing Gogo notices about Zeneca?
Yeah, it was the hair.
Oh, that's right. I misunderstood. My bad.
Does anyone else have anything that they want to make sure that they're using to urge, like, Zeneca on, or are they like, did we face Zeneca towards the counter where Gogo can't see the rest of the crew and they're just like, yeah, like silently?
Asa definitely spends this entire scene like refilling and then emptying and then refilling the same cup so she can fucking eavesdrop.
I think Imber is just preparing the best coffee he can just to like make the experience pleasant for everyone involved.
That's very good. So, getting to know each other. Take turns asking questions. Each player should ask two. Alright? And either of you guys can start. You're just going to go back and forth. And the questions are below are yours. And
are they just like guidelines? Can we ask other questions?
Yeah, they're guidelines. Just and honestly, usually like people will, like, describe what they're doing and then like fit a question in, or they're just, you know, like sort of like role playing it out.
Okay. So, I think Gogo starts off, considering Zeneca seems a bit awkward about the whole thing.
This is definitely the most, starstruck anyone's seen Zeneca. Like, she's tight-lipped, wide-eyed, like, got both hands, like, the front of her seat, like, still, like, how am I in this situation? What's happened?
So, she, like, unzips her leather jacket a bit and pulls out a container of gum. She pulls out a piece of gum, puts it in the direction of Zeneca, and just kind of like looks like, are you going to take it?
I think Zeneca, after a moment, sighs and then like smiles a bit, like takes the stick of gum and tosses it in her mouth.
Okay. And then she does one herself.
Nice.
We picked two very nonverbal characters.
Yeah, no worries. It's all to have fun.
It's cute.
So, Lena, was that your stand-in for a question?
Yeah, that was my stand-in for a question.
I think what I'm going to start with is, after another second, Zeneca stands up and goes, really quick, I've got managerial duties. Really quick, gotta take care of it. Be right back. And I'm going to put that under the umbrella of, I have to step away a moment, but I look across the room at you. Do our eyes meet, or do you look for me after I look away? I think Zeneca, like, bolts to the back, like, to really quickly catch her breath, and then she looks around the corner. Like, is she still there?
Yeah, your eyes definitely
meet. Like, she, like, retreats. And then I think she looks at Nyx and Asa, who are probably standing there with like shit-eating grins. And she points at Asa, then at Nyx, then draws a line across her throat.
Asa just hands her the cup of coffee she's been filling up and is like, have fun.
But yeah, I think she takes I imagine there's another cup of coffee.
Yeah, no, Nyx is like, Ember made this, so it's, you know, it's good.
Well, we who are about to die salute you. And she goes back to the table and sets it. It's like, yeah, sorry about that, you know, big managerial garbage. Did I mention I'm a manager? I'm successful.
You know what's hilarious is managing the coffee shop is absolutely not the highlight of Zeneca's life.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, when I think of the picture of success, I think running a coffee shop. Sorry, managing a coffee shop. It's very important that we know that you're a manager. I think this is the, I compliment you, but you think I'm making fun of you.
Oh my god, is she completely earnest?
Yeah, she's being completely earnest about it.
I mean, I think Zeneca just kind of laughs and nods and, like, chills out in her seat. Like, I think she's starting to unwind a little bit. I think now that she's, now that the shock has worn off, she's sort of resuming her usual self to an extent. Like, yeah. Holy shit, this is really good coffee.
Yeah, Gogo drinks hers and she's like, and the gum really adds to the flavor of it.
Zeneca blinks because I think she forgot she was chewing gum and she looks in her mug and there's just a wad of gum floating.
Alright, Zeneca has the last question.
I really don't know. Wow. Because this was not quite how I expected this to go. What do y'all think? I'm kind of struggling here.
Nyx is going to hold up a hand and be like urgently like waving his hand like hand. Because that's how he knows to start anything. By holding someone's hand.
That's true.
That's good.
That is accurate.
I think what it is, I think Gogo must be distracted for a second because Zeneca like looks at Nyx and is like, no, I literally just met this person. I do not know this person. And they're like having a silent argument. Gogo's distracted with something. And I think, you know what? I think what Zeneca like does, like, I'm not going to grab her hand. And then she thinks of something and she has a flashback to one of the many books that she managed to read in the library. And she actually looks across the room at it, and it is Palmistry, and she remembers she has never read this book, but she goes, you know, I'm pretty good at reading palms.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I just think she puts out a hand.
Well, she puts out her hand as well.
I think Seneca looks at it, and then she's immediate, and in her head, she is like, the two sides were arguing, like, cool, you're this far. What the fuck do you do now, genius? I don't know, this was your idea. Like,
a Kronk angel and devil appear on her shoulders.
No, no, let's be real. Ace is the devil on the shoulder here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Nyx is partying in the background. Nyx is like, yes.
Ace is the one that's like, make out, as the devil on the shoulder.
I'm looking up pickup lines to see if there's one that can be adapted to palmistry.
It says here, you're going to find love today.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's so good.
You know what? This is interesting. You know, usually there's four really... The Zeneca's not the one stumbling. This is tired. You know, it's interesting. There's usually the three most important dates in a person's timeline. She, like, looks at the side for a second, like, I really hope she doesn't actually know anything about palmistry. There's the date of your birth. She points at the bottom, like, one of the random wrinkles, points at the other end. The day you die, and she points in the middle, is like, and then somewhere along here, it's your greatest accomplishment, but I see four dates on this line.
Oh?
Yeah, and she points to the middle, is like, the one we're gonna have tonight.
Oh, that's ooh. So good.
And Seneca, meanwhile, is like, she's smiling back her head, is like, holy shit! And then her two mental selves high five.
Alright, Lena, do you have anything to add to that, or are we going to move into closing time?
I think we're going to move into closing time. I think that's right. A really good way to end.
So the coffee shop is almost empty, the tables are being wiped down. You both get up from the table you've been sitting at, talking, and wonder where the time has gone. Romancer, do you say something before the stranger leaves for the night? Do you go with them? Who is the first person you're going to tell about this?
I think she does say something before Gogo leaves for the night. She's like, hey, listen, I might have thrown some conflicting signals earlier. I'm, not exactly... Well, I can't say I haven't had a lot of surprising experiences in life, so that's a straight-up lie. But, I don't know. I just wanted to say, I've met a lot of special people, and I think you might be one of them. Let me walk you home.
She kind of puts her arm out in like the like interlocking arm sort of thing. She's like, okay.
Hell yeah.
Cute.
I think
as Zeneca guides her out, she as Gogo goes first, she turns and flips Asa and Nyx the hardest bird she possibly can.
Asa makes a heart with her fingers.
Nyx flips a bird back, but he looks very smug.
Like, Ace is just doing the, like, love you too.
Like, oh, it's, she, like, flexes the bird so hard, like, anime veins come up her hand.
All right, stranger.
And at Ember. That exact point, Solaritus leaps through the like, boat through side door and is like, hey guys, what'd I miss? Sorry, long delivery today. What's up?
I think Ember sees everybody flipping each other off, and he points at them.
Still hasn't.
Ember goes, wait, I learned this one, and does a finger gun.
Stranger, will you come back to the coffee shop tomorrow or at least someday? Do you refuse to make him a... sorry, go ahead.
I think she's going to come back in, like, 2 days. Like, leave her waiting a bit, but, like, still come back.
She's just like, sorry, I'm not actually gay. I know I give off vibes. My bad.
All right, wow. Someone's already adding Gogo, so that makes it easier for me.
My experience in college.
Whoops. Oh, no.
Big lesbian six.
Big lesbian six. All right, perfect.
That's Ace's band name.
Okay, guys. So, the time has come to take a small break. Well, actually, first we're going to play Wear and Tear. Wear and Tear is a game specifically for Stewpot that is played every 3 games. It's about us upgrading our coffee shop and making it better. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and go to the Wear and Tear page because Valeria doesn't have that up. Because I'm a genius.
Page 29.
29. Perfect. Alright. And so, anyone can play. So everyone, some people, whatever. And as a group, we're going to decide what part of the tavern needs fixing and touching up, and what the new features of the tavern are. Mechanically, what this means is we're going to put one of our tavern ratings up. Those ratings are cuisine, atmosphere, or service. Service is hiring people, atmosphere is sort of making the area better, and cuisine, of course, is our food and drink.
I think we should improve our atmosphere.
I agree. I think the atmosphere could use some touch-ups.
Because I think we have, like, big local coffee shop energies. And so we have, like, regulars who come because they enjoy just the vibe of it.
We need some mason jar lights.
Ooh. Okay.
A couple live, laugh, love signs.
Hold on a second. So we're touching up the atmosphere. All right.
Fill your life with laughter and love.
So, who are we all playing this game? Does anyone want to sit out for a moment?
Ace is playing.
I played. Sorry, Kronk's playing. It's me, Kronk.
I think Zeneca might play in this one. Might play in the space.
Okay. Is it safe to say that we're all gonna play?
Hell yeah.
Alright. So. Okay, so we'll go ahead and take turns. Rem, you already had an idea? So we're gonna take turns and describe what we're doing for a tavern. And each one of us should be using our experience.
Yeah, I actually, I did have a bit of a thought. So I've realized that we have to spend a lot of time, like, behind the counter, but not, like, making drinks, like, cleaning the mugs out and things like that. A lot of administrative stuff, kinda. So Asa has an idea. Asa has a thought. And Asa is going to enchant our sink with Watera and basically make a magical dishwasher.
Awesome.
And that is going to use my Arcana experience. Your knowledge of the magical and unusual is unparalleled.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool. Alright. I also have an idea.
Okay.
So we have a sail through, and I feel like while people know about it, it might not be as commonly used as we hope it would be. So Nyx is gonna fix up that area with some like a natural like stone arc that has a little sign to draw people through. He thinks that it's a good idea that, like, Solaritus can probably hang on it or, like, jump off of it as well. So he's gonna bend the land and make this, like, cool new stone arc for people to see where the sail through is. And using force of nature.
I think in the same sort of vein, Kronk is going to put up, like, different signs around the place that are all perfectly pointing in the direction of the coffee shop by using True North, his unerring sense of direction. So he just, like, puts signs perfectly pointing, like, hey, here's this cool coffee shop.
Awesome.
It is kind of a hole-in-the-wall place, so yeah. The signs are helpful.
Hello. Yes, I am also going to... hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
This might technically fall under service, but at the same time, we swapped out, for the sake of character, the intimidation thing that the pugilist and fighter has with friendship, because that's appropriate for Solaris.
Yes.
So, Solaris, his smile literally brightens the room. Like, just his pure smile has this magical effect that makes the aesthetics way better.
I approve.
Nyx also approves.
I think Ember buys a fancy rug for the library. And I think the bit is that before going out and doing that, he consults Asa for like what generally would look good since she has sort of that decoration skill.
Yeah, I think based on our current tavern, our current look, you should definitely bring in some purple.
Ah.
It's purple, baby.
Purple. and so that will be my my well-read experience, because I know it, or I know where to learn about it, which was from Asa.
Nice. Perfect.
Did we do it?
I think we got one more. Has to go.
I think Zeneca starts building a stage.
Took her long enough.
I love it.
She uses her experience of a lesson for every situation that she realizes, you know what, we need to make sure this knowledge, that these lessons get shared more.
What?
They need to be shouted from the mountaintops, but until we get those mountaintops, we can start at this little shitty wooden hill, this 1 foot wooden hill.
Asa definitely makes the comment of like, oh, and if they're on the stage, it's harder to get heckled.
Can I tell you what I'm thinking for the stage?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted permission to proceed. So I think the stage and library should be sort of like the same, but like now the library is sort of on this elevated platform that has stairs leading up to it, and I think there's like a really tiny, like a really short railing along the stage sort of edge. So it has this library vibe, but also it's elevated, so it has this heightened sense of importance.
Neat.
That's super neat. Okay. And so we have...
And it's got a rug on it.
It's very good. So we have increased our atmosphere to a 2-point level, which is cool. And now, anyone who used an adventurer's experience... is going to choose a town experience to gain, because we use...
Oh, shit, were we supposed to use adventurer experience?
No, you can use whatever experience you like. You could have used
whatever, but if you used an adventurer experience, you're getting a town experience. Mm-hmm.
Is that for wear and tear specifically, or over the course of the game?
It's for the whole course of the game.
Okay. Yeah, so if you can work your adventurer experience into another game, do it, and then you can gain a new town experience after that game.
Okay. So I didn't say it earlier, but I did use barbed tongue when I was mean to Phil.
Perfect. All right.
And I definitely used caught hands in the middle of that.
Very good.
Because, like, I am a master of unarmed fighting.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think I actually used any of my adventurer's experience over there. So, I technically broke the rules, but guess what? The rules are there to guide us, not to be, like, a stopping point. So, but this time, I think that the short scene that I'm gonna get is, while I'm shaping this new arcway, for the drive-thru, I find, sort of tunnels, like right above the water, and I show them to Solaris, and I want to explore them to sort of find new pathways around the city. Some that lead back to the coffee shop. So we have like new delivery paths.
Fuck yeah, parkour places.
I think while Kronk is like putting up the signs, I think he got some help from like people around the town, and so somebody was dropping one of the signs, and so as like he split second noticed it, it was like, you better pick that right back up. And then they did. And so he called the shots.
I like that.
So I have an idea for mine. So Asa has gained a patron, a wealthy benefactor.
Oh.
And I think my thought is that we have a regular who comes through our sail through fairly often. He's the captain of a mighty ship that sails the area. And he likes to stop in and bring his little dinghy to our window. And he chats with Asa a lot sometimes about like the uniforms and stuff. He's very impressed that she designed them. So he's actually asked her to help him redesign the Jolly Roger on his ship. And it is Captain Long John Silver.
Now, important question.
It is Treasure Planet Long John Silver, okay. Yes.
I was like, is it Treasure Planet or Tim Curry?
It is Treasure Planet Long John Silver.
Okay.
All right.
So I think as Ember is buying the rug, he's comparing a bunch of rugs, and the guy at the sales place is like, yeah, these two are pretty much the same rug, but in different sizes. And Ember looks at them very closely, and he goes, hold on. These are two different shades of purple. And so I'm getting keen observation.
I love it. I love it so goddamn much.
So, Solaritus's bright-ass friendship smile also gets him... I mean, he just makes so many friends. So, town experiences Garrison. You never have to work alone because he just has so many fucking friends.
That's really good.
You can never have too many friends.
I support it.
Too many friends. Family.
Do we also get a town experience if we previously used a, like...
Yeah, so we can go, since we forgot to do that during that game, you can go ahead and describe a second scene if you like.
Okay, because, like, retroactively, definitely during that brawl, I got the town experience Back of the Blade, which lets you knock somebody out because... Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what you do when you make people catch your hands.
Okay. Do we want to just... Everyone got one. Do we want to just let Zeneca get a new town experience?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Theo wasn't expecting this.
Theo, I definitely think you used golden words during romancing a stranger.
Yeah,
I think I was thinking that actually. No to call for a favor. Listen, guys, my new girlfriend. I think we can use her help with this slam poetry scene.
Are we gonna start she hiring the place? Yogo Tobago to do slam poetry security?
No, Zeneca's like, listen, guys, my new girlfriend. I think she can help. And then Ace is like, she your girlfriend? And Zeneca's like, not putting labels on it. Shut up. Anyway,
just put a label on it.
She hasn't accepted my Facebook request. Shut up.
Ace anyway. Has already mentally started like preparing your wedding.
Oh my god.
First of all, it's gummy book.
Ace has like. At Keyblade point at various points over the course of our adventures, extracted promises from each of you that she gets to design your outfits if any of you ever get married.
Perfect. All right.
Zeneca was like, you'll have to kill me first.
Ember's like, you already designed our uniform and I'm married to my work.
Holy shit.
Da da da.
Hey, okay, so we did it, guys. We did wear and tear, and now we're supposed to take a break. Because during this game, it's important to take breaks. It's important to step back, and because it's supposed to be like a really chill game. But we can also use this break time to make sure that our recording doesn't get too long because we're an hour and a half in.
You creep through the lush forest, past a bubbling brook. Suddenly, a twig snaps behind you and you draw your sword.
Your neutron pistol shakes in your hand as you step into the abandoned starport. You try to ping the captain, but the comms are dead.
Then you see her. Under the streetlight, a woman smoking a cigarette. Her sly smile reminds you of the witness.
She draws bullets in the dirt. Chestnut whinnies you hightail it, but not before your arm tastes hot lead.
Many Realms is an actual play RPG podcast with short campaigns and a variety of systems. Where to next?